There's the water. It's good to be with you all today. It's really a special opportunity to share about missions with you. And I'll give my teenage son, a little shot of this time that we have together as well. And I've got some slides and a PowerPoint later. Had a joke to start with. I'm not sure it's appropriate, so I'll skip it. If you don't mind, just don't have that feeling from the Lord that it's the right one to say, so I'll just, sorry if the introduction isn't what I planned. We're talking about missions, and my family has been involved in missions really just about all our adult lives, for the kids all their lives too, so we're happy to share with you about missions and our experience. I grew up in North Vancouver, you know where that is. My name's David, and I suppose I grew up, thinking about it, with a fair amount of privilege in a Christian home and wealthy enough. It probably made it easier to consider missions, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are sort of privileged too, and it does give you an extra option to think about missions when you and your family can sort of afford the risk. So it's easier talking with you about missions and what involvement you'll have than with people who really don't have much hope of being able to be sent out by their community and go anywhere. So I hope you'll pay attention. I certainly had some privilege, and that opened the door when my heart was sensitive and I was hearing about the need in the rest of the world. It opened the door. It's not the only thing, but let's face it, we've got a group here, and there's people that could have an impact on missions in their lives in the future, so it's great to think about it. I went out first when I was 19, which maybe was too young. Some people think that's too young. I don't recommend it, but it was good enough for me. And I went to the Dominican Republic. I'm used to a little bit of interaction. I'll try to have some questions. Who knows what language they speak in the Dominican Republic? Who knows where the Dominican Republic is? You know where the Dominican Republic is? Central what? America. Good, you're starting to warm up. What language do they speak? Spanish is a great guess. It shares an island with what other country? Country that's been troubled lately. Haiti. Good stuff. I like this. You people know your way around. So I was there in Santo Domingo after I studied a year of Spanish. It was the 80s and a little bit of the rapture rush, if you knew what that was at the time, but we don't have to get into that. They sent me out young, and they thought I would work with children, but I ended up speaking in the different churches. It was pretty exciting. There's a growing community of churches there in a little island in a place where 7 million people live just in the group that I was working with. There were more than 100 different meetings, and the elders were trying hard. This was new. The gospel was pretty new in like 1920, 1930, but by 1980, there's hundreds of churches. Probably something like what's going on in parts of Asia right now as well, where there wasn't much 50, 60 years ago, but there's a lot going on now. So I was young and preaching almost every night. It was fun. There's a response. There's almost, not quite revival, but there's response because the people are out there sharing with their friends and with their neighbors, Christ has changed our lives. And so people were coming to the Lord. And after a few years of that, got a little sick, had to stay at home. I was reading about missions, and, you know, we're supposed to go into all the world. And I was seeing that We went to some places more than others. We went to responsive places more than others. It's just, it's something to go to a place where you've got a pretty good chance that you're going to see a church start, or maybe 100 churches start, where you're going to see a response. But then there's other parts of the world, maybe not the same religion. It can be more challenging. What religion do you think the Dominican Republic has if it's a Central American, Spanish-speaking country? What religion do you think would be their main religion? Catholic. Great. So the Catholic countries in general, they're hard, but you work on them for a while, they crack open, and evangelicals start popping out, and that's what's going on in most Catholic countries. Not all as fast as others, not so much in Europe as in South America, Central America. But I looked and said, where could I go that's like, there's not so many workers there per person, and thought of the Muslim world. And to this day, the Muslim world, it just hasn't seen that response. There hasn't been that open door. The Muslim world, with a few local exceptions, is a hard-to-reach place. And so we can get excited. We can talk about, oh, there's hundreds and thousands of churches and there's all these believers in some mission fields. But we have to remember there's other fields where people just aren't hearing the good news of Jesus Christ at all. 2,000 years after the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, we've done it in a third of the world. But there's other places that are unreached, or virtually unreached, where the people spend their whole lives and they hardly see the witness of any believer. They might see something on television, which isn't bad at all. It's good if they can hear the message. But how are they going to see somebody living out a Christian life in their community if none of us are there? If you all run out on me, I'll be in trouble, but I can handle one or two. So I made this choice. I spoke with the Lord about it, I think. I'd rather go to a place where there's more need, even if it's harder. And the Lord sits there and considers, and finally other people agree, and so I went out. My wife, Edith, she's from Switzerland. She's here today. You can talk with her after the meeting. She was already there before me. We weren't married yet, obviously. And she was in Morocco. Her story is neat, but I don't have time to share it, about how she ended up in Morocco. But she was all set up there, and with the Moroccan Arabic, pretty much learned quite a bit. And I came along and studied. We met, and we married in 92. That's still a while back for you guys. Some of you maybe weren't born yet, so won't sweat that one. And we were in Morocco, and you're thinking how to reach these people. And, you just can't have some meeting on the street anymore. You can't get the loudspeakers out. You can't rent a church building and let all the Moroccans come into it. You can't actually even start some mission like giving out food to the poor and sharing the gospel with them as they wait in line. You're really quite limited. You can't even get your resident card from the Moroccans that says you're a missionary. We used to float around with this missionary visa in the Dominican Republic. It was quite comfortable, even if the police want to stop you when they see that you're a missionary. Oh, wow, and they hurry you along. Well, in Morocco, you have to spend years not letting them know that you're a missionary. You tell them, I'm a Christian, but you don't tell them I'm a missionary, which means that we're going to have to tweak your website, people, because you got this thing about a missionary in Morocco and you got my name beside it. And I hate to say that, but that's a security breach. You're not allowed to write that. So after this is over, someone's going to have to go tweak the website, because for a lot of the world, we're not allowed to be missionaries, and the government there doesn't want people coming to mess with their people. And so we have to be careful to still be Christians, to still be sharing the gospel with people, to still be presenting the good news of Christ and to be witnesses for Christ. But at the same time, that whole idea that we might be missionaries has to be hidden back. So I needed to find a job somehow. And since all I'd done was preaching and a year of Bible school and stuff, I didn't have any way to really go to somebody else and get a job. So I started my own small business, which sort of small still, unfortunately. 17 years later, it's still small. But it's not too bad. So I started selling some books to university students. They'd buy like one book and start photocopying it like mad. Even if it was like a $4 book, they could pass it on to each other for $2 if they made like 800 photocopies with 8 on each piece of paper. So 8 pages per sheet of paper, they were pretty good at that. So then I started selling to the universities themselves and selling professional journals. And eventually we were able to hire 2 Christian men to help out in the business. And that sort of gives them a life as well. It's a big help for people in these countries where there's persecution of Christians, if people can at least have jobs, steady jobs when they're Christian, and to be able to share their faith and not lose their job because of it. So that's the quick introduction. We'll talk more about Morocco, more about missions. We're going to pray for a moment here. And if you can stand with me, you've been sitting for half an hour. So if you can stand with me. We'll do it a little Moroccan style. We'll lift our hands up. So we don't have to lift them like this. You just sort of aim your hands up to lift your hands up in Morocco. And we will ask for the Lord to keep guiding us here. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us and how you reached out to us and filled our lives with your blessing and your goodness and your hope. We want to pray for Moroccans, especially Moroccan believers. There's not too many of them. They're often alone. They face a lot of pressures. We ask, Lord, that you'd comfort them, that you'd be with them, that you'd meet their needs. Thank you that we have brothers in Christ all over the world. Pray for others who are persecuted at this time and ask that first that you would comfort them and you'd help them and that you'd help the body of Christ around the world to be a support for them, to stand beside them somehow in their persecution. Thank you for this group that can meet together today. I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak in all of our lives about what's important to you, so that we can be witnesses for you in all the earth. Thank you for just your love for us and how you want to work in our lives and how you want to gift us for your service. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. So, Morocco, I didn't ask you any questions for a little while. Where's Morocco? Who knows where Morocco is? What continent? Africa. Where in Africa? Take a guess. North, south, east, west, that sort of thing. Somebody said north and somebody said west. Very good. It's on the corner. What's the closest country in Europe to Morocco? Spain. Heard that already. You can zip across with your boat in a fast ferry. It takes like 40 minutes with a car on the boat. Did I say that? So you can drive from Morocco to Europe. We would drive sometimes to Switzerland in like 3 days for break in the summer. And What other countries speak? What language do they speak in Morocco? What do you think? A little louder, please. A little less shy. Just shout it out there so I can hear. Ears are a little clogged these days. There's more than one language, so you're almost sure to be right. Just about anything you say, though. French is a great language. Yes, it was. French is one of the official languages. What else do they speak at home, those Moroccan people?
Arabic.
They speak Moroccan Arabic. Then they read a different one called Classical Arabic. And then there's some Berbers, too. I didn't expect you to know about the Berber dialect. So you can get yourself into a bind linguistically if you go out there and you don't know Berber or Arabic or Classical Arabic before you go. You're going to have to do some language studying. Unless you're born there and you just sort of pick it up with time, which isn't a bad idea. So that's how big do you think Morocco is? How many people? Take a guess. 15 or 50? 50. I hear 50. A little less than 50, but that's not a bad guess at all. Maybe 35, or who knows, maybe they don't report them, and there's exactly 50 million people, so that's good. What other countries are struggling there right now? Have you watched any of the news? Have you seen it? What other countries are struggling there with these demonstrations? Neighbor countries. Libya. Syria. Algeria. Good. What else? Who's already been taken down? Tunisia was first, and Egypt was like second, and Yemen, they're still struggling, and of course, Gaddafi in Libya. Gotta feel sorry for him when he actually loses his family in spite of it all. That was a little sad. There's this upheaval, and there's Muslim fundamentalists that aren't in power, that wish they were in power, and there's all these struggles going on, and it's a difficult part of the world to be in. Does that mean we just say it's too hard for us and we walk away? I don't think so. I think it means we look for creative ways to reach out to those people still with the gospel. So we'll show you some slides of Morocco, and then I can ask you afterwards what that animal was, and you can say camel. And things like that. So, and we're going to have a sound with this, I hope, somehow. So I click start. Is it going to work? Hey, wow, classy. Never done this before. This is like 5 minutes or so. Some pictures of Morocco. I want to turn some lights off. Sound. A little Arabic music here. It's not even coming out of my computer. How'd we do that? Sorry. How come we don't have sound? Speakers are at 100%. Wow. I'm gonna have to ask my family to sing along. We test drove it. It was working there.
The volume is down on that side. That's the part right now. Just pause it for a second.
It's the speed. Help me with this, people. All right, great. We're going to also ask Daniel, sorry, I should know his name, he's my son. We're going to ask Brian to come up, and he'll share with you a little bit about his experience. And we can take that off, he's not using that one. This is Brian.
Hi, good morning. So my name is Brian, and I'm 15 years old now. I was born in Rabat, which is the capital of Morocco. I was born during Ramadan, which is the month of fasting. And so the Muslims all fast until the siren goes off around 6 or 7 at night, and then they all eat a lot. So my mother tongue is English because we spoke English at home. And then when I was 3, I went to school. It was a Moroccan school, and I learned Arabic and French there. So I was pretty much a Moroccan. The only big difference was that I was white until I was about 6 years old. Then I became a Christian, so that became a big difference because they were Muslims and I was a Christian. But I didn't really think about telling them about Christ until I was about 11. Then I finally realized, like, the need for them to know about Christ and how important it was. And so I started talking to my friends at school about God, and I asked them questions about Islam, and they asked me, and some of them were curious about it, and they wanted to know more. Some of them just didn't care. Some of them were not happy about it, that I was a Christian and that I was talking about it, and they sort of persecuted me, or they would, like, make fun of me and stuff. So lots of times I came home from school and I wasn't very happy because of how they were treating me at school. But it was hard sometimes to be a missionary and to tell people about God. But lots of times when I was just, like, walking alone with my friend, then it was good to just talk to him. And when they were actually asking questions and they weren't just totally rejecting it, it was good to talk to them. And I'm really glad that I was born as a missionary and that I was able to do that. And I want to be a missionary when I'm older too. I just wanted to share one verse from the Bible that was really encouraging to me when I felt like I didn't want to go to school anymore because of how they were treating me and stuff. So this is from Acts 5:41. It says, "The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." I'll just read that again. "The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." So that verse just was really comforting to me because I found lots of verses in the Bible that say that you're blessed when you're persecuted, and that it's going to happen if you live by your faith and you tell people about God. And so it just sent me back to school with a new way of thinking about it, and it just, instead of being afraid, I was happy instead when they would persecute me, because I realized that that I'm doing what God wants me to do, and He's happy that I'm doing it, and that He still gives me lots of opportunities to talk to people that will be curious and will wonder and ask me questions. I'd like you guys to pray for the Muslims, for the seeds that I planted in them, and that all the other missionaries are. Some of them are really amazing people, and how they stand up for God, even though they're questioned by the police a lot. And please pray for them and keep them in your minds, and just pray that they could open their eyes and see that they need Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thanks for sharing, Brian. And a lot of good points there. The thrill of sharing the gospel with somebody like at the end of the earth, and he's never heard it before, and he's trying to say, no, the Lord Jesus didn't die, and we can be a witness and say, well, he did die, and he died for us, he gave his life for us, and he rose again from the dead. And just to be able to answer some of those questions when they might be pretty confused and be talking about some Trinity with God and Mary and Jesus, and to try to express the real truth, the saving truth of Christ to them. It's not easy in the, I mean, obvious cultural differences. You're looking at I'm looking at these pictures and it looks strange to me after being here for this last school year. It's a different world, and yet somehow the message of Christ gets across to them. A few more verses to share here, if we can pop this up. Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We want to follow this example of being witnesses. So it's not necessarily only how you talk, but how you live. You're a witness with your life too. You can be a witness even by being there and being different to some extent. There's lots of ways to witness in these lands, especially when it's a little harder to be out in the open doing it. But they see our lives. We see that we're different. You know, you got Muslims that get themselves drunk even though their rules say you're not supposed to drink and all. And then we don't have those same can't drink necessarily impositions on us in our scriptures, but we're not drunk out on their streets doing crazy things. When our families stay together, when we can treat each other with respect, when we can show the unity of Christ, there's lots of ways to be witnesses before we actually get a chance to share the gospel with people. And we want to take this out. We want to take it farther. So as a community, you might be thinking, how can we take the gospel to the needy people around here? And you might eventually be thinking, how can we help out with the growing people movement, those who turn to Christ in China? And eventually, hopefully, you'll be thinking, how can we take the gospel to the ends of the earth where it hasn't been heard yet? The rest of the verses I have for you are in 2 Corinthians 5. This first one, if we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. And there's just sort of this question here. I mean, you're coming and you're asking people to consider leaving this behind, going there, or spending your money so that a mission can happen there in another land. There is sort of the question, are you out of your mind? I mean, really, like, people finally got to, you know, a really nice city. They say this is one of the nicest or the nicest city to live in the whole world. And we've traveled some, and it really is. It's beautiful, especially when the sun comes out. And this is Vancouver, and your dreams sort of can come true here. And you got to be crazy to say to people, you know, this isn't the end of the road. This doesn't have to be what satisfies you or anything. Your satisfaction comes when you're serving the Lord and doing what he's asked of you and what he's calling for you to do. And that very well may be to go to some poor developing country where there's a lot of sand and a lot of sun and some camels and donkeys, and to spend years serving out there. But there's a point where this mission of the Lord, are we out of our mind? Well, we're not out of our mind because the love of Christ compels us. And that could mean the love of Christ, could mean either way. Christ's love for us and for the world, it compels us. And then the response in our hearts when we love Christ back, when we are grateful for what he's done, that also compels us. We're convinced that Christ, one, died for all. And so we're dead to some of those things that we weren't dead to anymore. When we've turned to Christ, we can be dead, it says, to sin in Romans. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. We can be dead to just the desire, I'm here to please myself. We can be dead to that way of thinking. And we can say, no, I'm not. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to serve the Lord, the one who gave his life for me. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. We should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. Pretty special to think about the resurrection. For Christ, it looked like he'd lost everything. He'd suffered so much. And he was dead and in a tomb and buried. And yet resurrection time comes. And all of that gets left behind. And he rises in a glorious body. And he conquers death. And that's the same hope for us. It doesn't really matter what sort of a bind we get into. And I'm going to places like Morocco. You can find yourselves in more of a bind. And some people lose their life in parts of the world, not so much in Morocco, rarely in Morocco, but some people go to places and they're risking their lives, and they have to have a resurrection hope to stay at it. I mean, there's people that still go out to, people that go towards the direction of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and if you go to Colombia, there's places you can go and be pretty much at risk of getting kidnapped or taken hostage or have your neck chopped off, and you're at risk to do these things. Lots of places you're at risk to have your goods confiscated, and but the resurrection comes and solves all that for us. So that has to be our hope. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We'll skip through this pretty much. We once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. So I can say some of these things that sound crazy, you'll be able to understand me more. I'll be able to understand myself more as a new creation in Christ. But the people of this world, they would not understand why you're going to want to go in that direction and be there. Everybody in Morocco wanted to go to Canada, and they just could not figure out why Canadians or Swiss would want to be in Morocco, and they really thought we were crazy. Lots of times, it was just mind-boggling for them. Why would they do that? And we were living, I don't know, upper middle class by Moroccan standards. We weren't like among the super rich people. The business is not some high-powered business. And they know that everybody lives better, sort of more comfortable in Canada than here. And even their family members that made it out and were successful. You know, success for those people in a lot of cases is getting to Europe or something. And they're just looking and say, why are you going in the wrong direction? Like, going the wrong way on a one-way street. What are you doing in Morocco? Maybe if you come and you run some corporation and you got like 100, 200 employees and you got all the money you want and you can just party your way through life, and maybe that would make sense. But for most of the missionaries, it doesn't make sense to them. Why would you go the wrong way? Well, we're new creations in Christ. We have to have a different mentality. It's not about how much money you can make in this world. It's not about how comfortable you can make things for yourself. Sorry, I just zapped this. It's really about our service for the Lord and showing love to him because he loved us first. This is is our last verse, and I'm especially interested in just the bottom line, but we'll read it. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what reconciliation is? It's a little bit like the prodigal son story. The son had gone off. There was no relationship with the father anymore. There was bad feelings. At least the son was in a huff. I want out of here. I don't want to have anything more to do with you, father. But then he came back, and the father forgave him and received him, brought him right in to the family, shoes, the ring, the robe, the slaughtered, the fatted calf, the party, the banquet. Come in and be family again, enjoying close. And that's the message that the Lord has here too, a ministry of reconciliation. God reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He doesn't want to count men's sins against them. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. The cross itself is offensive. The message of the cross, it's hard for people to understand. But beyond that, this message is a message of grace. And be careful, we should be careful when we present the gospel to people that they don't find some other weird hang-up with it. I think sometimes the gospel has been presented to scare people to God, but it's really a message of God loving and calling people. He's not really trying to hold a hammer over people's head. That's not the way it should be presented. He's trying to reconcile people to himself, and we have this message of reconciliation. So after years in Morocco and seeing not too much, seeing maybe believers get strengthened in the community, a few people came to know the Lord in the country over the years we were there. Probably in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of prayer for Morocco. And I'd say that maybe throughout the whole country, through everybody's effort, the church, the Moroccan church, probably doubled in size from less than 1,000 known believers to less than 2,000 known Moroccan believers. That is still not 1% of 1% of the Moroccan people that have stood up and said, we follow Christ now instead of Islam. It's pretty small percentage. There's still a lot of need there. And the ones that do stand up, you have to give them credit when they know there's going to be persecution and trouble, and they still share their faith and they let people know, no, I'm not fasting Ramadan with you because I know the Lord, or I'm not stuck with those same issues. I follow Christ. I'd rather you knew about Christ. I'm not stuck in Islam any longer. They stand up for their faith, and they often get a lot of hassle from their neighbors, from their family, sometimes from the police, for their faith. And so we need to keep praying for those people. Well, after, like we said, almost 20 years there, last March, a year ago, the police started going around to different homes of the foreigners. They showed up at my home Monday morning, March 8th, three policemen said, David, get your passport, get your resident card, and come to the police station. So I had to go with them, and I didn't get back out of the police station until they'd driven me to the airport and put me on a plane. They bought the ticket. They sent me to Montreal. They kicked 30 or so missionaries out that day, expecting that their families would follow because we weren't going to be allowed back in. A couple of months later, they took out another group, and in June, 3 months later, another group of people. So of the maybe 500 adult missionaries that were in Morocco, 130 or so are out can't get back in. And those that maybe are newer, aren't pestered yet, they'll let them work at studying the language and trying to get set up and share their faith a little bit, and then they'll maybe come for those ones as well. So what do? We keep trying. We throw ourselves at Morocco, and looks like they'll be throwing us back out. And yet the message of reconciliation still needs to be extended to the needy people there. So that's where we're at right now. Personally, ourselves, we can't get back in to Morocco as a family. My business still runs there, actually, a Moroccan employee. I don't quite know what to do about that. You can pray for things like that for us as we look to the Lord for more leading here. But we're not, it's not something to be sorry about. A lot of good years, a lot of opportunity. The message still needs to go out to the ends of the earth. That's clear. That's the last thing the Lord Jesus said to us before the ascension. He wants us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So I hope that bringing this before you, plant some seeds. Don't go and shake off everything that you're doing right away, but maybe think how in your life too you can help the gospel reach out to people all over the world. Should I close in prayer, or is that the plan? Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you that your love reached to us. We thank you that people brought the good news to us. We thank you that your love still works in our lives and makes us want to share the gospel, bring your teaching, bring your service, and bring Christian community and love to others around the world too. So we ask, Lord, that among this group here as well, there can be growing interest in missions and what's going on and how we can pray for missions, and eventually even some who would want to take steps to go out to places. Help them to have strength to start right where they are, sharing their faith with the friends at school, and bless them, Lord, so they can go far for you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.